Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. This is definitely going to be different type of worship experience. This is not ever going to be a typical sermon, but testimonies with music. We come from former Yugoslavia, which is in Southeast Europe. If you think about where Greece is, north of Greece, and across the Adriatic Sea from Italy. So that's part of the world. We were brought up, here's my sister here first, the closest to me, and then younger daughter, that's Nevena. Marina is next to her, my younger daughter, elder daughter, Anna, and my wife, Branka. So you will see and hear us giving testimonies. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a communist country, but definitely you don't hear about God. And we were brought up, actually, the whole system, school system, that God does not exist, that whoever is religious, they are some fanatics that just meet together and they are not going to be prosperous in life. So right after the Second World War, the communists took over. Before that, the country was a kingdom of Yugoslavia with a king and queen. So when they took over, they changed everything. The whole system just turned upside down. So people were not allowed to go to churches, or if they had still churches, they had to hide, or they were not allowed to spread the good news. So we remember from the very early childhood when we started going to school, there was already a problem with Sabbath keeping because they were going 6 days a week. So when we talk about this, praise the Lord, our children do not have that problem at all. So what to say? Our parents were talking to the leadership at schools where we were attending, but they said, okay, we are, by the law, you are still allowed somehow to if there is reason, strong reason, why you're not going to school on Saturdays. Somehow they kind of tolerated in the late 60s and early 70s. It was even worse before we were born. So I remember that some teachers were really mean, especially in a middle school. They always gave some tests on Saturdays so that I would not be able to get any grade. So I had to know from memory and to show my knowledge in verbal in front of the whole class. So she would just try to embarrass me, but I, praise the Lord, was well prepared. So she was the biology teacher, so she ridiculed our beliefs. So it was a tough time for us growing up. My wife will say a little bit more what she gone through. But I'll tell you another thing is my father. He was a well-known and loved dentist in the university clinic in Novi Sad, the second largest now in Serbia, one of the largest cities in former Yugoslavia. And after the Second World War, actually he studied to be a dentist, and they needed dentists. So they somehow tolerated his being different. And actually, from the very beginning, when he asked for a job and applied, he said that he is an Adventist. He would like to do everything on Sunday, to have regular treatment on Sundays instead of, because they had actually 7 days. You know, when you need help, you are just there for students. And for some time they tolerated, but then they became jealous because he was the kind of top dentist in the university medical center. So they were angry that they talked about him as a special and excellent dentist. So they were doing everything in order to make his life miserable. So they somehow were able to tell the leadership that they should close on Sundays the facility, so that they would force my father, our father, to come on Saturdays. So, but my father said, well, we agreed differently and so on. To make it shorter, he lost his job, even though he was, as I said, the top dentist. And they managed to persuade others to fire him. So for 5 years, actually, he was without job. He was just doing some dental work to our family and friends and church members, but nothing like medical clinic, dental clinic as before. So it was a hard time. We were in early teens at that time. And to grow up without having more than just basics was not easy upon us. But praise the Lord, after 5 years fighting through the federal, even through the federal court, the highest court of the country, so he finally won his case, and he was partly reimbursed. They made it in such a way that he didn't get the full amount, and inflation was pretty high. So in any case, but it still was enough to cover all expenses and what he borrowed, the money from other people, and it was a little bit left over as well. But when we talk about dentists here, it's a different story. Dentists do not earn more than, I would say, teachers, beginner teachers here. So it's just different standard over there. But in any case, this was for us an experience where God intervened. And I would like to share with you one Bible verse in Psalm 37:25. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. And this was our experience. From our parents, we learned to stand firm regardless what will happen around us. To stand for what is right, even if we're standing alone.
I'm going to invite everybody who is feeling like a child today, or we have few children here, to join me for the children's story, which can be a story for adults too, because it's a true story. This story is coming from 70-some years ago, and I'm pretty sure all of you heard about World War II. Unfortunately, many people suffered that time. But God protected his people and answered the prayers. We like to pray every day. Who prays every day? I do. And God answered almost all my prayers. And I still keep praying every day. There was a young man by name Joseph. He was a very, very young. Maybe he was in his early 20s. And it happened during the World War II. He was a German who visited his friends and family in former Yugoslavia. And that time, Germans fought against everybody almost there. So the Yugoslavia was one of the countries that they've been fighting with. Well, he wasn't a soldier at that time. He just came to visit his family who lived there. However, that night when he arrived, a local army heard that there is a young German visiting and they wanted to get him and take him away and maybe do something bad to him. But Joseph's family said, quickly, come back to the bathroom and they're coming to the house to search for you. So he opened the door and, you know, at that time there was a piles and piles of laundry because everything was washed by hand. So they accumulated during the week and there wasn't a machine. So there was a huge pile of the laundry, and he hid under. So they opened the door, look around, they couldn't find him. And they told, the local army told those people, we'll come back tomorrow to try to find him. So he went to the barn and hid under the manger where the cows and horses eat food. So they came back tomorrow and again they couldn't find him. So they said, we'll come this afternoon. We'll make sure we find him. Well, where is he going to hide now? He went under the big haystack, you know, the food for cows and horses. And, well, local army came back again, and they searched again. And actually, they've been stepping on him. They couldn't find him. So they've been so upset, and they said, we'll come back tomorrow morning. We'll find him. However, during the night, Joseph went to the old mill. You know, at that time, people would grind the wheat and make flour so they can make food. So he hid between two big stones, you know, the round big stones. And he was a probably small frame, so he could fit in, and he hid there. And he could hear soldiers on top of the stone looking for him and looking for him and looking for him. And there was a big opening. And he could hear the soldier was pointing the gun towards that hole. And he said, I'm going to find him. And he was almost about to pull the trigger. And the commander said, oh, don't waste bullets. Probably he's not there. So they left. The next day, Joseph safely went back to Germany. However, he was drafted to the army. So he became eventually the soldier of the army. One day, you know, when they fight the soldiers, they took a prisoner of war together with them. Well, Joseph heard some voices that it was too familiar for him. So he found five soldiers who've been captured, and those five been the same people who've been trying to kill him that night. And he asked commander to take care of them. So what do you think Joseph would have in mind now, a little bit of revenge? What he would do? Well, Joseph was a Christian, very faithful Christian. So he took a special care of those five people. He fed them, he provided a good clothes, and he even made sure they go back safely to Yugoslavia, to their country. And even he prayed with them. And guess what? All five became Seventh-day Adventists. What a sweet revenge. How wonderful is our God. Something very bad, he turned out to be very, very nice and saved those five people.
From our early childhood years, God has been leading and guiding our lives, and we are very thankful for his great love and care. My brother was 5 years old and I was 7. That morning, I told my mom not to pack lunch for our dad because my brother and I wanted to surprise him and bring it to him later. We always loved to visit our dad at his place of work. He was a well-known dentist in Novi Sad. My brother mentioned before something. Our father worked for the university clinic and took care of students' teeth problems. In the early 60s, we had peace in our country, and our parents permitted us to walk along to my father's dental office, which was about 7 minutes away from our home. That day, I had afternoon classes, and our plans were that my brother and I will bring lunch to Dad. We just loved visiting our dad's dental office. There were so many things to see, touch, and sit on. There was this huge fan made of rubber, and looked like it had ears and those ears reminded us of elephant ears. And then there were patient chairs and can seat it and twirl around and many other interesting things for us kids to see and play with, providing dads that is busy and not looking at us. It was winter time. The sun was slowly going up. It was about noon. We crossed when we finished visit to father and we started to go home. We crossed the street by the music school and all of a sudden we crossed the street by the music school and all of a sudden we felt as if our feet were stuck to the ground and we couldn't move, as if some powerful hands were holding us back, not allowing us to go forward. At that moment, a big, huge snow came down from the roof of the big, tall building, couple of feet from where we were standing. It felt as if someone had a big giant shovel and dumped big heavy snow with ice on the street. Someone who was passing by and saw that happened shouted, "Kids, this was your lucky day." If it were not for those powerful hands holding us back, we would have been hurt and it may be fatal. We ran home as fast as we could and hardly breathing, we told mother what just happened. Our mom said, "Children, let's kneel down and thank Jesus for sending his angels to protect you from getting hurt. Many years later, our family was giving a concert in a small town not too far from our city. And I was sharing the same story, of course, my language, without reading. And when the concert was finished, a gentleman came over to tell me that he was the man who witnessed this event many years ago. He started to visit our church. I am so thankful to God for loving us so much and for always be on time to intervene for us. Remember, Isaiah 41:10.
Good morning, church. We are so happy to be here with you, meeting new faces. That's something what we really like to do and share a good news about our Lord. I was born in a family by religion. My father and my grandfather, they've been Greek Orthodox religious family. Even though the communism was very strong when I was born, we still attended church, even though in a traditional way. We believed that God existed. And my grandfather and my father was actually helping the priest in the church. So every Sunday morning, they would go there, even though it was only a few people, mostly old people, they would go there and keep the tradition through years. However, my mom, who was also the same religion, was thirsty for God, living God. She heard about the Bible that my father's uncle had, who was a Seventh-day Adventist at that time. And she asked him if she can read the Bible. Well, my grandfather didn't like it, neither my father liked it, because they knew if she starts to read the Bible, she's going to find the truth. And she did. I was only 2 years old when she was baptized and became Seventh-day Adventist member. At that time, changing the religion was a shame for the family, especially my grandfather, who was connected very close with the priest at that time. My mother wasn't physically abused, but verbally and mentally a lot. And I remember growing as a little girl, hearing all these bad words towards my mother really hurt me. But we've been persistent. She would take me to the church every Sabbath morning, and I enjoyed Sabbath school stories, and I enjoyed the fellowship of the people. It was a small village church, but we had a desire to be together, to worship God, even though it was forbidden. When I started first grade, I was 7. In the first Sabbath, Saturday, I didn't go to school. So the principal called my father and he said she didn't show up for school on Saturday. Was she sick? My father said, well, not that I know of, but he knew that I was at the church. So the next Saturday came again and I didn't go to school again. So principal called my father and he said, listen, this is the second Saturday that she's not coming to school. This is serious. You can end up in jail and pay a big fine that you don't allow your child to go to school regularly on Saturday. So my father came home and had a serious talk with my mother and asked her, because at that time in communism there was no private school, no homeschooling was available, so that was the only public school. And he said she has to go to church. So Sunday morning, I asked my mom, let's pray to God, and he's going to find a way that I don't have to go to school on Saturday. Instead, I will go to church. So principal agreed that Monday morning, he is going to take me in front of the whole class and ask me questions what they've been studying on Saturday. And if I fail, they're going to expel me from school. However, I had a very good friend who gave me the material and books so I could study Sunday and be ready for Monday test. So Monday after Monday, I would pass those tests, and principal finally gave up, because I was a very, very good student at that time, almost a leader every single year through elementary school, and mostly kids would look up on me and ask me for protection and pray for them. So that was one of the things that we experienced as a little kids. And when you are a little children, you might be afraid, but we knew that we been standing for God and God provided for us. Unfortunately, my father passed in 1991, but he asked my mother for forgiveness. He never was baptized in our church, but he was our follower. He believed and he read the Bible. In early 90s, again, another war started in our country and people been fighting. So our church has to close because there wasn't any members left except for my mom and another lady. And that was a sad story that me knowing growing up in that church, and I was actually baptized when I was 15 years old, the church is closed. So we are very privileged and blessed to be here with you and worship in this beautiful building in the freedom that God gave to all of us. Amen.
When I was not quite 20, I was invited to present our church, actually our youth department, in an international youth congress in Lausanne, in Switzerland. And I understood that it's going to be for several thousand people present in that large youth congress. And I had before that, I was in a music school where we had usual tests and exams in piano playing. But it's not the same if you play for a few teachers or a few dozens of other people in a program, in a concert, or when you play in front of thousands of people, young people. And I practiced really hard, and that was a piano and organ duet. And I asked God especially to protect us and to really help us for that very big occasion. For me, it was by that time the largest event where I would play. And I always have, even now. It's not just simple things, playing or singing in front of other people. So some of you know what butterflies are in your stomach, sometimes more, sometimes less. But what's happened, actually, when I saw for the first time, it was the Congress lasted from Tuesday until Saturday night, Sunday morning. And when I saw this big hall, my heart sank. So I said, wow, I need to play this on Friday, and Friday evening concert, spiritual concert, and Saturday afternoon. And I asked God, please help me not to disappoint any of people there and my country and France, and disappoint you. Because I practiced hard, but it's still a different thing when you are in a big hall. And you know that people sometimes take special medication in order to overcome some fear or anxiety. But I didn't take anything, and I just left everything in God's hands. And what's happened actually is that I felt so calm, like I was not playing in front of thousands of people. And what was also good, I didn't see them because the stage was lit with lights. So I didn't see the crowd. And this is a positive thing. And that was something that I remember. And in Judges 1:9, Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Later, I was in the military service. It's compulsory, you cannot avoid. If you're healthy, man, you are supposed to spend at least a year in military service. So I was also, after I finished my physical therapy training, I spent my first 10 weeks in my hometown. But I'll tell you a little bit about the system in former Yugoslavia. When you have to go to the compulsory military service, you're usually not in your town or city. So you're sent far away. They want everyone to feel like they're learning about other, not so cultures, but other places in the country. So I was first 10 weeks in my hometown, because the training for medical personnel was in my town, city, and it was a special experience for me. I couldn't sleep at home. I had to be in these barracks, and a special, you know, base, a military base. But I was just a couple of miles from home, so my parents and sister and some friends from church could bring some healthy food, because in They don't have good food there, especially not for Adventists. So that I was, I felt like, of course, I'm not at home, but at least I have some people around me who are helping. But after 10 weeks of training, I was hoping that I would go to one place where I thought I would go, because that was a big military hospital. But when they read that I would go to another city that I had no idea, it's a larger city, among the largest ones, I just felt completely lost, because I imagined going to another place. So in the beginning, I really felt that this will be a terrible experience, because I planned differently. But that city was actually where I was just 15 minute walk from the church and pastor, and so they are really they want to help young military trainees. So I was working in a military hospital in the physical therapy department, but I had to live and stay overnight in the military base, and during the day I was in the hospital. So it wasn't bad, and especially it was good, because I would be able to often go on Sabbaths to the church, and I would spend Sabbath with our people there, young people and other in church. That wouldn't be possible in another place. I would have to go further to find an Adventist church. So, and then during that period, while I was still in my hometown, they had a final. After 10 weeks, they had like military training, special, like imagining that you are in the war situation, to see how much we have learned in 10 weeks. And I knew this would be difficult, especially because of Sabbath, because of it would be 12 days. I think 10 or 12 days, but it was over a week. So it would be a problem with the Sabbath observance. It would be a problem with food, because you couldn't have normal food in such a situation, like war situation. So, but just a week or so before that military training final test in the field far away from our base, I somehow got bronchitis, and I thought I would recover soon after a couple of days, but somehow it persisted. And I went to the doctor, military doctor, and he said, I think it's better if you stay here in the base, and you're going to be a watchman. So you'll just need to take care of the compound so that no one enters and comes in and out. So basically I stayed throughout this this training session. Just a few of us stayed from our original military base there. And I remember when the other soldiers were going out, they were kind of excited. Most of them are young, and they think, oh, this is like playing a war situation. So and they were enthusiastic, joking and so on. And they said that we are going to be bored these 10 or 12 days, every day the same routine, but they are going to have fun. But after, when they were returning, I saw that they were hardly moving. They were so exhausted, sick, and they told us that one night it was pouring with rain, and they were in tents in a valley, so everything was soaked. So, and they said, now, you were lucky who stayed here. So I praise the Lord that at that time I was not feeling that well, and that I could stay and not go to that place. Because many of them got sick, as I mentioned, and would be even much worse for me, not eating proper food and just skipping meals, and problem with Sabbath and all this. So God provided at that time for me.
I'm a physical therapist by profession, and on this particular day I worked in kinesiotherapy room with outpatient people. God gave me the privilege to see every week what is better for patient. This is good for my personality. This day, Jovanka came in our room, and she wasn't my patient, but I found she is very intelligent and unique person. She was teacher of our language and literature in Novi Sad. Jovanka had an outgoing personality, loved nature, especially children, and became the founder of the first children's ecology society in our city, Novi Sad. Jovanka came to our clinic to receive therapy after having surgery on her elbow, and after receiving therapy, she left, and she came next day. In our country, it's normal to receive 5 days a week therapy. Only weekend is without therapy. Okay. Then one day she just finished with exercise, and I heard one voice. Go after her. Do you remember story in New Testament about similar words? Go. Nina will read for us. Nina, please.
I'm going to read in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel to the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.
Thank you, Nina. I listened to this voice and went after her. Remembering I had the printed program in my pocket, and I handed to her, reminding her that meetings were starting this night, and topic was archaeology and the Bible, presented by Pastor Peter Roenfeld from New Zealand. She came that first night, and I introduced her to my parents. With enthusiasm, she continued coming to all the meetings. Jovanka told me that she had studied the Bible at the university as a literature book, but now she looks at the Bible as a book written by God for our salvation. The evangelistic meetings came to the end. Visitors were invited to continue Bible study at the church. Jovanka continued with the Bible study and completed not one, but two Bible study courses. She understood the biblical baptism. However, she was not sure if she should get baptized in an Adventist church or an Orthodox church, since that was her family tradition. Nothing she was not sure, I told her to keep on praying and reading the Bible, and she will find correct answer. I never pressured on her. We prayed, my mother and I, for for her, and God lead her life. Holy Spirit, to understand His will. I never push her, but we continue with prayers. Living close by, we were able to take to church, and many Sabbaths she was our dinner guest. even though she was not a member of our church, she came and helped us clean our new church building to have it ready for dedication. She was only our friend. 2002, my brother came to our city to work on his many projects he mentioned before. V20 concert with parents, and then my brother and I, we continue in other countries in Europe when we have our Yugoslavian churches. In early spring, Jovanka and I met on our street, and she asked me, "Nena, what is your plan for this and this Sabbath in April? Is it your plan to be here in Novi Sad?" And I told, "Yes, we will be. This is short rest before next trip." And she told me the best news. She told me, "Nena, I decided I will baptize in our church, Adventist Church." Words cannot express how excited and happy I was to see my friend Jovanka Joka accept Jesus as her friend and Savior. That Sabbath was one of the most happiest and most memorable Sabbath for. More than 3 years after we first met, my prayers had been answered, and now I know she is my sister in Christ.
Good to see you, all of you again, after a really good lunch. We still have energy to talk and sing, as you see, and play. And we like to tell our story, a true story that happened to us, that we witness for our Lord and Jesus, that he lives in our life. I am a registered nurse. I work in an oncology unit. I'm a chemo-certified nurse. So I'm working in an outpatient setting when people go home the same day. They come from home, and when the treatment is done, they go back home. I've been in this unit for almost 12 years, and I've seen and met so many people, so many family members, that we become so close. So some people come all over again, weekly, twice a month, monthly, every 3 months, every 6 months, even once a year. So I really become close to my patients, and I know all about them. They know all about me because we talk. And through all these years, I would mention one gentleman who really is stays in my mind for probably the longest I can remember in my 32 years of being a nurse in a nursing field. Let's call him Stephen. Stephen was a mid-60 gentleman, a little bit heavy set, lived alone. He had a wife and children, divorced. The children went their separate ways, and basically he was alone. All these years, he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. That's a condition where the bone marrow doesn't produce enough healthy blood cells. So he needed blood supplies from time to time, and become my very, very regular patient. At that time, he would come twice or three times a week to get blood products. And his usual time was 9 o'clock in the morning. That was the time that was okay with him, and he fit in our schedule. So 9 o'clock Monday, Wednesday, and Friday was his appointment, and he had his chair. We call it his chair because patients prefer to sit in the same spots. Since he was a regular visitor, he called it his chair. So I always reserved the chair for him, knowing that he's going to show up. That was a couple of years in a row that we would keep talking. And knowing him, being atheist, he didn't like to talk about God. And even though he knew that I'm a Christian and he knew that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, he becomes so close to me that he would listen to me, but he would always say, ah, your God, ah. You know, he was a really strong Democrat, and what he really liked to talk about was football and politics. Not my topics that I prefer to talk. First of all, football, I have no clue what rules are, neither what they do, how they collect points and so on, but I was listening to him and he was excited to talk about it. And election times comes close, he would talk about he is a big Democrat, he will vote for this. Well, I was nice and polite listening to him. So we become friends over time. We exchanged few recipes. I was actually pregnant with my second one at that time. And he was asking me how I'm feeling, how is my little girl, and so on. One Friday morning, I remember as yesterday, that was like some years ago, 9 o'clock came and Stephen didn't show up. So I was like, well, February, rainy, cold day. It's like, well, he's a little bit late. He lived quite a distance, like 30 miles far away from our hospital. So I was like, you know, he got somewhere in traffic. He will be here. So 9:30, 10 o'clock, I become a little bit anxious because I know he never missed his appointment. If he does, he calls. So I had his phone, cell phone number, and he would call me and just say, Branka, I'll be there in such and such a time, so just keep my chair available, I'll be there. So when 11 o'clock came, I really become anxious because I knew it wasn't him. He would call. Definitely. So I asked my secretary who worked with me and I said, can you try to call his cell phone and see if you can get him? She tried and no luck. Nobody picked up. She couldn't leave a message. So by 11:30, I knew something happened. And I called my supervisor and I said, listen, he lives far away. I know the address. We need to do something about it. I know he lives by himself. Something happened to him. And she said, well, Branka, you know, you have so many patients waiting for you. We really cannot deal with these issues right now. And I said, let me just try one more time. And I grabbed the phone and I called. And it was ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing. Couldn't leave a message. And finally, I heard that raspy, well-known voice, hello. I said, Steve, is that you? He said, yes. I'm laying down outside of my house. He fell. He fell at 7:30 in the morning. It was 11:30. So he lay down for 4 hours in the mud, cold, couldn't get up. The cell phone fell in the mud somehow, and I know the God has his way to do it. His phone was ringing. And I said, Steve, let's talk. And my secretary called 911, and I said, send him there. He is in front of his house. While I was talking to him on the phone, I could hear the sirens in the distance that they're coming close. And you know what he asked me to do? Branka, let's pray to your God. So that was the moment that I broke. I was like, okay, Steve, I'll pray for you. And I finished my prayer, and I could hear the sirens coming close to him. So they pick him up, and instead of taking him to ER, he insisted to come and see me. That was the moment that, you know, you don't see those people very often. And I'm not saying that he converted. I don't know his heart. I really don't know. But the moment when he asked me to pray with him was a big step for me, because God knows everybody's heart. And we are so easy to tell and say people are doing this and this and this, but we really don't know what the connection is with everybody's heart and God. So this is my experience. And, you know, I cleaned him up and I said, Steve, you need to go to ER. You need to be examined. He just wanted to see me, and I wanted to see him. And one of the ways that actually I don't have to talk about God, I can feel that people are coming close to me because I care and because I give them a hug. And for so many people, means so much. So I'm so thankful to God that I have that ability, compassion, and understanding what people's needs are in the right moment, in the right place. Amen.
I have a dilemma now. You know, so many years passed, and the longer we live, we have more experiences, more stories to say, right? So I have a list of things to say where God intervened in a special way. When I was in the military service and later as a student, it seems I'll need to plan another visit. So then we'll have more time for these testimonies, life experiences. Just to remind you what we talked about, the military service. When I was sent very far away, it was good for me. But one day I got an invitation to go to a court in my hometown, which is, you have to travel many, many hours. And I didn't know why. I knew that I was not doing anything wrong. And they didn't even stated what was this about. And I traveled. And actually, I have to go back and say what's happened. I was among the witnesses in a car accident when a motorbike and car collided in our city in a very busy intersection. And we were coming back from an evangelistic series with a young pastor, a youth pastor, and some of our students were there with him, maybe a dozen or so. So we were on that intersection, taking the bus out, and we heard that zooming someone with a motorbike, and it crashed to a car. So no one was killed, but injured. Femur was, I think, damaged, if not broken, on a motorbike rider. So, and we were among the first one, that pastor, youth pastor, and myself, to be there present to see what we can do to help. And when I got this, actually, to make it shorter, that pastor, he knew that I was in the military service, pretty far away in the country. And he put my name as one of the witnesses. And true, I was one of them. But I didn't know that. So actually, I got 9 days of free, to witness. It was, I don't know, Monday or whatever day of the week. So I get 9 days free from the military just for maybe 9 minutes of witnessing. So it was a great experience, and I thank him. So when I saw him, I think last year, I told him that I still remember that he made my days easier. So I was at home and for 9 days. There's in Psalm 91, I want to read several verses that talk about what I experienced in the military service. Psalm 91, verses 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. I wanted to study, actually, I loved music, but also English. So I actually enrolled in the University of Novi Sad to study English and literature. But I also enjoyed continuing my music studies that I started for 10 years in former Yugoslavia. And the best thing would be to study music in England. So I would have both of this. But the problem was money, because my father, although he was a dentist, he actually earned three times less than how much I would spend. So, you know, when even now, dentists don't make more than $1,000 there a month. So I would spend $3,000 per month, $3,000. So I knew that was a big sacrifice for them. So they had, just for the first year, I used all my savings and their savings too for my first year at Newball College in England. So my goal was to finish, well, to try at least to see as long as I could stay there. But I didn't have money just for the first year and didn't have enough, so I had to borrow from some richer people from Germany. And then it seemed that I would be returning home after first year, my freshman year, because I could not get any loan from Yugoslavia. You know how it is in these poorer countries. You don't get scholarships. So it seemed that I would return. And then I got an invitation actually to work in Switzerland as an assistant physical therapist there, just to be a helper for 6 weeks. And what's happened there, that to make it shorter, instead of just staying 6 weeks that summer, I stayed 4 months, because they needed someone to replace a person who actually did not turn to his work. I was just for 6 weeks during his vacation, but then he didn't return, so they needed someone. And during that month, actually, they had four physical therapists there, and two of them younger were full-timers, and two were part-timers, two older ones. And one full-timer young and one part-timer old were... So I heard that they are moving, they are leaving the clinic, the medical center. And I still didn't know enough French, because this is French speaking. So then they explained to me that something was wrong with their licenses. They had licenses expired or something. So they actually had to leave. And they asked me, did you say that you're a qualified physical therapist from your country? And I said, yes. And they say, send transcripts. I said, oh, you all have everything in the clinic. So they quickly found, and within a couple of weeks, I was allowed to actually work as a physical therapist, much better paid than just assistant. So for me, it was a question now. They gave me 3 days to decide whether I want to stay and work as a physical therapist or would just work during summertime. And it was a struggle, because I wanted to continue my studies at Newell College, but the job was excellent also in Switzerland. So sometimes it's difficult between two good things to decide. So I decided still to return and continue my studies in England. And they were good. They were not happy, of course. They wanted me to stay, but they were really fair, because every summer I was allowed to work there. So that's how I was able to earn enough for my further education at Newell College. Then I'll tell you one thing. As I said, I get nervous when I play in front of other people, especially in front of teachers and others. And my final exam in piano I will never forget. It lasts a couple of hours, and you play pieces from memory. Then they ask me questions about teaching methods. They give me some quick study to study in front of them to demonstrate. So it's really a comprehensive exam in front of several teachers. And I remember that it was, if I didn't get a heart attack that day, I will not get it soon. Because my heart was banging all the time, this, I don't know, hour and a half. But God helped me, and I can say, like from James, James 1:5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." And then I'll tell you one thing when I failed, actually, in my one music comprehensive exam. I had to do different things at Newball College. What I'm talking about, it's another institution where I was taking other classes. So while I was studying American degree at Newball College, it was at that time a branch affiliated with Andrews University, I took English courses in music from London Schools of Music, London, England, from Royal Academy of Music in London, and from Trinity College of Music, also in London. They have three large institutions, music institutions. So at the time, I was focused more on Andrews program, so I didn't have enough time. And I failed once, and there is a limit. If you don't pass a certain exam until a certain date, you start from scratch again. So whatever comprehensive I did so far, I would have to retake everything. So it was to be or not to be, as Shakespeare would say. I think it was Shakespeare. But and the first time I did not plan well, my timing was off. So I did really well first part of this 2-hour exam, I think, written. And so it seemed that second time I would be smarter. But again, I was somehow stuck in the beginning, and the time was just flying. And I saw that I might fail again, and then I will have to start again and waste another year or two of my studies. So this was final general musicianship exam in London. So and I prayed to God, please, please, help me to finish. I was still not close to finishing, and the time was running. And you know what's happened? One of the examiners just left, and he was supposed to return quickly. And he was late for 12 minutes. And when one person is there, they have to have two people to finish and to start. They have several people who are there. That was the kind of leader, the boss among them. So he apologized and he said, "I'm sorry I was late, so I hope you don't mind." So I had actually 12 more minutes to finish everything. And it was a miracle. That doesn't happen in England. They are very punctual what's going on. So these 12 minutes actually saved me, and that I was able to pass that exam. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, and I think I will finish my testimony with this one. There are more, but I think another time. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Dear Heavenly Father, what a wonderful day it's going to be. And we will forget all the frustrations on this earth and everything that's happened. You will do it for us so that we will remember only good and positive things. And help us that we can be worthy to be there and to see other people with us, not just us, but those that are our cousins or family members, friends, and neighbors. So help us to be courageous to share the good news, the gospel, with other people, and that then one day we can enjoy throughout eternity with people who we knew from this earth, and that they were also saved with us. Be with this congregation, help them to grow, to be a vibrant church in the community around, and that you can be glorified in each individual, and that we can all be like the moons that do not have, like the moon that has not its own light, but just reflects the light from the sun, so that we can also reflect your love, and that people will be blessed around us. Be with us throughout this coming week to be successful in our daily duties, and that we can uplift you in our lives and in lives of other people, and that we can be closer to you and closer to each other. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.